Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You straight up cuckooed that dude, bro. Oh my God.
You've got all your Charger gear on because
I'm feeling fresh as hell.
Well, you guys better enjoy it.
The fans loved it.
You have to love what you're seeing on tape if you're a Chargers fan, especially for the future with Justin Herbert.
On the move and throws and touchdown.
Do this together.
Players, coaches, staff, fans, together we can create something truly special.
Stay tuned for some good content.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Charger Chat, folks. I'm your co-host, Wool Dunk, sitting with my buddy, Kev Huggin Duggan.
What's up, friends?
Hey, and let's not forget Kyle the Coach Duggan.
Is it just me, or is this the first week that really feels like the offseason?
Oh, then nothing happened.
The nervous. Yeah.
It's all quiet on the Western Front.
Yeah. Big time.
The AFC Western Front, that's is. Right. Well, yeah. All right, folks, we got an awesome episode lined up here for you. Lots to talk about. We've got a fan focus, a Bolt beat, and a hefty Ask Bolt Fam. But let's waste no time. Let's start it off at the top. We've got birthday wishes to give out. First, we got Sebastian Joseph Day. Happy birthday. Our old favorite, Kyle Van Noy.
Oh, Kyle. Happy birthday.
And our personal favorite, Tony Rodella. Happy birthday, big
Happy birthday, Tony.
Big Tony.
My man.
Congratulations. Happy freaking birthday. All right. Looking over at the news, Eric Smith tweeted out Chargers GM Tom Telesco just met with reporters in Phoenix. We will have more takeaways tomorrow, but biggest nugget is that Zion Johnson is likely moving to left guard where he played in college. Sollier going to right guard. So the lineup as it looks right now is Slater, Johnson, Lindsley, Sollier, and Pipkins.
Wow. I wonder why.
I don't get it.
No, it's okay. It's okay that I don't get it because I'm not there with the guys. It'd be fun if they gave us the next little bit of, they don't need to by any means. Right. I don't deserve an explanation, but yeah. it would be fun to hear some of the behind the scenes of why. I guess maybe it's just Zion's more comfortable on the left side because that's where he played in. But it feels like Sollier, and I guess he played a lot of right. No, because Sollier played left tackle last year. So it's like, him on the
They're
left
really
side.
Mixing he it could, up.
Yeah, I don't know. You're mixing up two positions instead of one.
The question is continuity, if that messes anything up. Or if all of a sudden we're running on everyone and we made the right switch. You know?
This is what it should have been the whole time, yeah. Exactly. Dude, it does feel like with Sollier and Johnson down there in the middle, those are two big, thick boys that are ready to move people.
That's going
to
be a problem. And Lindsley just being the best center in the league. But I kind of like that Zion and Rashawn next to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty mean. Pretty mean left side.
Yeah.
And maybe they're counting on Sollier too, being like, hey, Pip, I got you, bro. I play left tackle. I'll come over here and help you out a little bit.
I'm just like I'm a right guard. I guess like a guard slash tackle over here. So really we have a guard and two tackles on the right side. Center, gackle, and tackle.
Gackle.
Well, the gackle of linemen.
The return of the great gackle.
Yeah. By the way, did you guys see any of the video clips of Tommy T? Not Tommy T. Coach Staley. Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Boy looks off season.
Kind of like the dad kind of.
He looks like he's finally at home, like having to put in some dad hours.
that
face looks like dad hours.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta get back to the football field fast.
Yeah,
gotta start climbing those steps at the stadium.
Isn't
again.
That the funny idea that like football takes less off of him than being a dad at home?
I mean. Can you guys relate as far as like you've got jobs and like jobs can be pretty stressful.
I've never been a head football coach in the NFL.
Yeah.
But taking care of the kids at home is way harder than what any work that I've done.
Yeah.
They're psychopaths.
Sure.
Pretty funny. Yeah. Brandon Staley, they were having a meeting in Phoenix. For those that don't know, like all the owners were coming together for meetings and head coaches and stuff, and they were asking them all questions. Brandon Staley was asked some of the questions at the league meeting today and had this to say on the Austin Ekeler situation. Staley said, "We've been in full communication with his team. I think there's alignment and a way forward. We want him to be a Charger. I think that's something that general manager Tom Telesco has said. It's something I've said. We want this guy to be a Charger. We're also respectful of his position, and we're going to see where it goes. There's going to be time now between now and our first game, and we'll see what happens. But I know the Chargers feel very strongly about Austin Ekeler. He's just been fantastic for us."
I just don't want to get into like a holdout thing. It's such a distraction and so annoying. Like,
yeah, I just don't think that's what it's going to be. I think Austin's trying to capitalize, and if he can, he can't. And he's not going to shoot himself in the foot for next year. You know, like, he's just out there doing his best to see what he could get. And it doesn't feel like he's getting anything as of right now. And the draft's quickly approaching. You would have to have draft picks as a part of this trade deal. So it feels more inevitable that either one, he plays out the year, or two, he says, you know what, this running back market's not getting any better. I'll sign your 3-year, $8 million a year deal, and let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, here's hoping because, yeah, we're seeing too many running backs signed for $3 to $4 million. No, really, no more than that. Like, four is like, that's the top right there. And Austin Ekeler, I want to say, is in like 6 to 7 with his current contract right now.
Right.
So whatever happens, happens. But yeah, at least it's good to see that they are like, yeah, we want him to stay here. It's not like, yeah, we wish him well, and, you know, it's been a blast, and, you know, hopefully he lands on his feet somewhere. Like, they do want him back.
And why wouldn't you? It's awesome. Exactly. Freaking Ekeler.
Yeah, the guy that's been leading the touchdown category for 2 seasons. So, and then on what new Chargers linebacker Eric Kendricks will bring to the defense, Brandon Staley said, "I think Eric's pedigree, he's been in the NFL 7 or 8 years, and they've been a top 5 defense in Minnesota the entire time. I was in the division in 2017, 2018, played against them 2019 when I was in Denver, played against them my first year as a head coach here. He's one of the most complete linebackers in the last decade. You're talking about 5 to 7 players that are as complete as a linebacker as he is. His instincts, his key diagnose, his ability to communicate, that energy in the middle, a true commander. Tackling machine, sideline to sideline, in the box, physicality. He's one of the best passing game linebackers in the last decade. He comes from a pattern match scheme in Mike Zimmer, which is how we play, so the scheme transition is seamless. And we know a lot about him. We got Ryan Ficken here. We got Jeff Howard here, who coached him intimately. My best friend's Jonathan Gannon, who was with him. We just feel like this guy has a lot of the stuff that championship defenses are made of. I'm really, really excited to team up with him."
I just got so jacked.
This
even more so now with the, you know, not offering Drew. This was the guy he wanted. He was becoming available, and it's just done. It's just a done deal. It's like he kind of talking about him in similar light to what we got for Khalil Mack last year, like that kind of energy. I know he gushes about his players and he's a player's coach, but you know, those are great things to hear.
I mean, he certainly wasn't saying this kind of stuff about Drew Tranquil. I mean, as far as the completeness, the overall ability of what Eric Kendricks has is not something that was necessarily touted about Drew. They had a lot of nice things to say about Drew. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't like, yeah, he's Drew. He stays over there. You know, it's
Drew.
Yeah, he stays in the corner.
Drew.
So he had nice things to say about Drew, but I mean, the amount of gushing that he has about Eric Kendricks and just really talking about his overall ability, like, that is exciting to know that, like, this is the type of player that we're getting to fit in this scheme. Well, I know a lot of people didn't have a lot of good things to say about Drew, especially in the Twitter world, because Kansas City Chiefs put out a tweet with a quote from Drew Tranquil saying, "I'm excited to run out on the right side of the field this time." Now, the right side doesn't mean right and left. It's right as in the
correct
side of the field this time.
I went back and watched the whole thing in context and like the whole clip. It's not that bad.
Right.
But it's still a shot.
It still sucks. Yeah, it still sucks. Unnecessary. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know he wants everyone on the Chiefs to get excited about him. So he's saying that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I give him a little bit of leniency, but still, it's like, bro, come on now.
Yeah.
But don't scorch earth us on this one. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah. It's it hurts still, Drew, because we loved you. And to have a quote like that go public for all the fans to see and hear. And
it also feels a little bit low for the Kansas City Chiefs to be tweeting this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
With his picture in a Charger uniform while he's like a backup linebacker. Like, he's never even coming in to be the starter. They know exactly what they're doing. They're trying to piss off all the Charger fans. Mm-hmm. And they successfully did that. And yeah. I hate them even more now.
Yeah. Because again, this is a personal jab as far as
how this
is coming out. This isn't like, oh, Chargers came out with the schedule and, you know, the boat says FTR. I think that's more of a playful jab. This is like, hey, oh, I'm right here, Drew.
This is the Chiefs going, we got your guy and he's going to be a backup. And this is what he said about you guys.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
I hate that.
Why? The way you just explained it made me hate it even more.
Makes it worse, right?
You explained it made it so much worse.
It makes it way worse.
Yeah.
So
that
it's just the nerds behind the screen of the PR for the Chiefs, and I know what they look like, and they're just the biggest doofuses in the whole world.
I know exactly where they live.
They have their stupid little
drive
three-quarter zip Patagonias on and their dumb khakis, and I know what Kansas City dorks look like, and this is who's behind this. I just know it.
Yeah.
Well, you know who aren't dorks as our new patrons over at
no,
Patreon.
No, they are not.
They are not dorks. Patreon.com/ChargerChat. And we've got some new patrons to shout out. New patron, I should say, our Lone Ranger. The Lone Rangers. Dennis Andrew, thank you so much.
Welcome to the body, pal.
That's right. Thank you for coming on over. We got a lot of fun videos over at patreon.com/ChargerChat. Go on over and check it out. And if you don't want to, that's okay. Hey, we're not that kind of salesman. We're not trying to push some kind of car on you that you don't want. That's not what we do here.
Put the coffee down.
Put that coffee down.
Coffees are for closers.
Always be closing. So if you don't want to go to patreon.com/chargerchat, that's fine. You can go on over to chargerchat.com. Check out all the fun stuff we got over there. T-shirts, hoodies, and stickers. You can chat it up with other Charger Chatteteers in our member section and ask questions in Ask Bold Fam. So go check out chargerchat.com. All right, time to...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Go on to the next segment. It is fan-focused. Fan-focused, like past tense, fan-focus. And the name I see here was a guy who really touched all our hearts last week with an inspiring story. And I can't wait to see what Kevin has to say with this gentleman. So let's waste no time.
Let's go. All right, guys, we are back with another fan-focus, and we are super lucky to have Manny from Orange County. What is going on, Manny?
Hey, man, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited because we connected after the last Ask Bolt Fam, because you sent in the story about meeting Justin Herbert and getting the courage to go talk to him and your daughter and the wife. And it was the coolest story, man. So I had to reach out and we wanted to see if we get you on for a fan focus, and you're here. So before we get to that, because we are going to talk about that, we got to find out, man, how did you become a Charger fan?
Thanks, dude. Yeah. I guess I was always a Charger fan, but I never really looked into like what football was. I was born in San Diego. I was raised in Oceanside, and I was in Oceanside till about 13 years old. And everyone was rocking Charger gear. So, you know, naturally I'm a Charger fan. I was just wearing my first jersey was number 9, Drew Brees. And I didn't really start watching football until I moved to Orange County. And that's when I would say like my real fandom started. There was a bunch of Raider fans in Orange County, and there was a Charger and a Raider game coming up. And one of my buddies you know, he's wearing his Raider jersey and he sees me with my Chargers jersey and he's like, hey, dude, like, you guys are going to lose. You know, you're going down. And I'm like, who's this guy? Like, no one's ever talked crap. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's a Chargers supporter where I'm from. So I was like, nah, man, you guys don't got this. I don't know what's going on. Like, I've never seen a football game before. And he's like, well, how much you want to bet? I'm like, well, let's put $20 on it. And so we put $20 on it. It was 07. And it was when, like, the Chargers were just beating up on the Raiders. Every year.
We had a run on them.
Yeah, we did. And I missed those days. And we need to get those days back.
Totally.
And I remember sat down, watched my first Charger game. And I've been a Charger fan ever since they got me those $20.
I love it. Yeah, I love it. Beating up on the Raiders and making money off of it. And that's like the really, really beginning of your, you know, diehardness. That's amazing, man.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about what you think of the status of the team. There's a lot going on right now with the offseason in Austin. There's some negative things, but what are some of the other positive things that you're liking what you're seeing with the Chargers right now?
I think right now, so I would say like, I'm barely, by the way, I just got to say this, I'm barely leaving the grieving stage of like that playoff loss.
Oh, same.
So I honestly, like, this never happened before. Like, I did not watch any like playoff football. I watched the Super Bowl only because my little nephews, I'm getting them into Charger fandom and they wanted to come over and watch the Super Bowl. So I was like, yeah, I'm not going to reject them. I'm like, yeah, come over. Let's watch the Super Bowl. That's the only reason I'll watch the Super Bowl. But I think I'm just now like starting to like feel healed from that and feel fully like engaging back again. And you guys have helped a lot too. Listen to your podcast. You guys make things so fun.
Awesome.
But I would say I'm just excited for Charger news. I think like in the off season, it gets so dead and it's not as exciting as last off season was where you're just getting all these splash signings left and right. Mm-hmm. So I feel like any little crumb they give us, I'm like, you know, like, ooh, like I got to watch this. I watched that like Drew Tranquil interview like 5 times, like even though he was like a Chiefs, but he's kind of talking crap. But I'm like anyone that says Chargers, like I'm going to watch it and just like fiend on it. Right. Any little crumb. Like,
yeah,
I'm just excited about any moves, any signings. Yeah.
Yeah. It's awesome. Same with me, man. I'm like looking for anything. I just found like a 40-minute video of Coach Daly talking at like a table. There's nothing spectacular, but I watched every second of it. I absorbed every moment of that interview. So it's same here, man. I'm just ready for it to, I think once the draft starts, then it's like steamrolls. The next thing you know, we're going to be Charger football is back.
I don't think there's going to be any year where I'm not going to get excited about the Chargers. Like, when you guys always talk about like what's going to be the record, you're doing record predictions. You're always saying like, oh, undefeated 17, right?
Why wouldn't you?
And at first I was like, come on, that's a little ridiculous, guys. But you know what? If I think about it, I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm always hopeful that the Chargers are going to like be, you know, in the mix of things. Like, I have a Packer buddy and I got a Raider buddy who like, they're always like, what do you think this year? I'm like, oh, dude, we're going deep. Like, this is the year.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm fully believing it. So I'm like, oh, you know what? Like, I'm always hopeful. Like, there's no season I ever come in and I'm like, oh, this is going to suck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so easy to be hopeful too with Justin Herbert. It's like each year he's gotten better. And what's going to happen next? Because there's only one trajectory he's going and what this team's doing. So,
such a stud.
And why am I going to say 9-8? What good is that to anyone? That sucks. I don't want to be 9-8. I want to be undefeated. Yeah. So,
no, if I'm saying 9-8, like I'm gonna go see a therapist.
Yeah,
something's wrong with me. Like,
exactly.
Like, I'm not. That's not the only pessimistic outlook going on in my life. I'll say 9-8. Like,
yeah, there's a lot of bummer stuff going on in your life. You can hold the Chargers to a high standard of 17-0.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, let's get into it. So, last episode, you sent us this awesome story. Kind of give us a quick rundown for the people that, you know, maybe didn't hear that episode. Like, what the scenario was in the situation.
Oh my gosh, dude, it was so random. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Board and Brew, but like they're amazing sandwiches. And we went to this new one that opened up because they had like $3 beers. So we just went there casually. We weren't even going to go. And we were sitting there eating or waiting for our food to get there. My daughter's like, Dad, I need to go pee. And I'm like, oh, all right, come on, let's go. So I get up and I look at her and I look right above her. And literally all I see is like, Justin's hair and like the last third of his ear, like of his face, like the ear part.
Yeah.
And like, I recognize him like from that. I'm like, that's it. Justin Herbert.
I was like,
holy shit, that's Justin Herbert. And so it was like such a crazy like moment and experience. Like I did not expect me to run into him like that. Like it was just insane. So it was awesome getting to meet him, getting to talk to him. I feel like I blacked out a little bit during the conversation. Like I remember like not like wanting to ask him things and wanting to talk to him, but just not, like I don't know if I did or didn't.
Yeah.
And even when we took our phone, like when we took the picture, I was like, hey, let's take a selfie. And we posed and I'm like, oh, wait, let me get the phone out of my pocket. Like,
that's awesome.
So, yeah. So it was just an amazing experience. I never like imagined I would get all nervous and sweaty and all that stuff. It was kind of crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's number 10. And the coolest part of the story, and it's awesome, is like you were like, oh man, nervous, like trying to get your daughter to go check on it, and your wife was like, you do this now, let's go. Yeah. Like that, I love that. I love that.
I didn't realize how much of a badass move that was until you guys really picked it apart, and I was like, damn, that was a badass.
She's a badass, dude. Like, just giving you that extra push to go do it. Like, you got a good one there. So, congrats on that.
We're always talking about like, you know, improving like our daughter's confidence and like, you know, stuff that we never had when we were growing up. Like, just like being able to teach her how to like do things she's scared of and be comfortable with the uncomfortable. And so, like, it's usually me preaching that, by the way.
Yeah.
But my wife this time, she turned the tables on me, and I was like, damn, I gotta do this now.
Well, you did it. That's awesome. I can't imagine how nerve wracking that might have been. And just get it. It's just a guy. He's a 20. I'm in my almost 40s and he's a 23 year old or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't think I got it in me to like ask him. Like, yeah. So it's amazing. I'm glad we're on the same page on that 100%. Yeah. So
I'll say this. And this was what I was most proud of, by the way. When he left, I took a picture when he left. I went to the bar. There was a guy with the Raider hat. And I was like, hey, you know, Justin Herbert was just in your bar or in your restaurant. He's like, no way. He's like, I don't believe you. And I'm like, so I showed him a picture. He's like, where is he? But he just left. Yeah. He's like, are you serious? And then another guy, he's like, wait, are you kidding me? Let me see that picture. He's like, dang, we should have sat with you. This sucks. I love Justin.
That's awesome.
And I remember thinking, I'm like, the thing I'm most proud of is that I let him walk away without creating a crowd for a big fuss.
Yui snuck in there, very sneaky, got the photo, got out. That's awesome.
No, he appreciated that.
I'm sure he does not seem like he likes the limelight at all from all the stuff we've all seen. So, yeah, dude, it was an amazing story that really made our day last episode. And then let's get you out of here on this, Manny. Like, your best moment as a Charger fan, like the one memory that's like, damn, like that's what I go back to is my favorite Charger moment.
My favorite Charger moment, I would say, and I think a lot of people have said this before, it was, well, now it's Justin Herbert's story, but before that, it was the playoff game, the win against the Colts, the walk-off victory. I just remember, like, I'm very emotional, and so, like, it, you know, that moment was just one of the best experiences of my life. It was me, I was with my little brother, and we were taking care of our neighbor at the time, who was a senior citizen. We were just feeding him, watching the game. And it was just like the best moment, playoff win. Like I think we were going to the divisional round or the championship after that. I remember, I just remember it being like an awesome moment. And I'm always going to remember, me and my brother always talk about that, that experience, just me and him watching TV. Having fun.
That's awesome. Well, that's a great second favorite thing now after Justin's story. So you got those are awesome. Those are top of the list. So Manny, it was an absolute pleasure meeting you and getting to chat with you a little bit, and hopefully we can run into each other at a game or something in the future and hang out.
Yeah, absolutely. We gotta connect and look for each other at a game
for sure, brother. So all right, man, well, we will talk to you soon. Stay in touch, and let's go
baby.
Well, Manny, it's one thing to read your story. It's another thing to hear you tell us all of the nuances of that story about posing and not even having your phone out of your pocket. It'll be like, oh, shit, my bad.
Oh, dude, it's clutch.
That was so freaking good. Cool, dude. That I speak for all of us when I say that we are all so jealous of the experience that you just had to be so randomly in the same restaurant as Justin Herbert.
Quick question. Would you know this was me if we were in a place together?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, my brother. We have the same ears. Adam, you're up. See, that's impressive that he caught him by the ear.
By the ear.
He caught him by the ear.
He's like, I know I've seen that ear before.
I've seen that lobe.
Where have I seen that ear before?
Yeah.
No, Manny, so many good memories, dude, that you're so we're so thankful to have you on this show and thanks, sit brother. Down with Kevin.
Yeah,
so
thanks,
thank
man.
You so much.
17-0. I'll say it again.
Let's go.
I don't care if it sounds ridiculous. We're going 17-0.
It's got to hit one of these days.
Yeah. Just like 10. Just like 10 on the roulette table.
Let's go, baby.
Has to hit.
It will.
And also, before we go to the next segment, he gave us permission to show the picture that we talked about on the previous episode of sitting with Justin Herbert after he realized, oh, the phone's not in my hand.
The selfie.
Here's the selfie so we can share it with all of you. I mean, come on, look at this. That's look at rad. This picture. This is a picture that will live in infamy, not just in Manny's life, but in the life of the Charger chat.
Come on.
This feels like, you know, when they take those photos and turn them into paintings, this feels like a conversation starter in your living room.
Yes.
Like, get that shit painted.
This is easily a 6-foot painting in the foyer of your home.
Yeah. As Manny. Soon as you walk in, there it is.
So cool. Thank you for giving us permission to share this. And now, folks, let's take it on over to the next segment. It's our old friend Jason Reed over at the Bolt Beat.
Boom, boom.
Cha.
Cha. Welcome back to another edition of the Bolt Beat. As always, I am your host, the acting editor over at boltbeat.com, Jason Reed. You can follow me on Twitter at EatYourReedies or Bolt Beat on Twitter at BB_Chargers. Go read all of our work over at boltbeat.com. So, we are now in the calm after the storm that happened after the calm. Two Bolt Beats ago, about a month ago, I mentioned how we were in the calm before the storm. And then we were in the storm. And now we are in the calm after the storm before the second storm, which is the 2023 NFL draft. And there is a lot of different directions the Chargers can go. And this year, more so than any other year, feels completely wide open. There was some of this last year in the first round of the 2022 NFL draft. Chargers ultimately went with the best player available, Zion Johnson. 2021, we kind of always knew they were going to go offensive lineman. It was just whether or not Rashawn Slater would fall to them, and they did. 2020, we knew they were going to go with Justin Herbert, and that's kind of this era of Chargers football. So in this era, this is by far the most unpredictable draft. There is multiple areas the team could go. There's not one super, super pressing need. And it's going to be a fun draft. It's going to be a fun draft to cover. The day of could be crazy. We could see the Chargers trade out of the first round altogether. Who knows? We keep getting teased. Tom Telesco earlier this offseason said 7 to 8 picks. Who knows? Like, he teased the trade down. Brandon Staley left the door open about the board opening up at the 21st pick. And once the quarterbacks go and, you know, it pushes the other guys back and they can get creative. And there's a lot of talent at the end of the first round, early second round, which I agree with that they could go with. So it makes this draft class fun. Now, the thing I wanted to talk about today is how Lamar Jackson is actually having a huge impact, not only on the Chargers draft class, but on the Chargers as a whole. So today, Monday, it was revealed Lamar Jackson tweeted that he requested a trade from the Baltimore Ravens. I believe on March 2nd was the day he said. There's obviously been the ongoing issues with Lamar. If you're not familiar, he was given the non-exclusive franchise tag by the Ravens, meaning any other team could come in and give him an offer sheet, can get him for 2 first round picks. It gave him the ability to go test the market. You know, he's been having this staring match with the Ravens for quite some time now. And this was the Ravens going, look, we don't think you're worth this much. Injury concerns, whatever the case may be, you think you're worth this much, go get it. And if it's a price we like, we'll match it. If not, you can go get the what you think you're worth. Now, the market hasn't really developed for Lamar Jackson. A lot of teams publicly came out and said they were not pursuing him. There could be, just, you know, theorizing here. This is not an allegation or anything, but seems like there could be collusion, like these owners not wanting to freaking pay up Lamar Jackson after the Browns kind of screwed the market over last year with the Deshaun Watson deal, giving him the first fully guaranteed contract of that nature to any position in the NFL, let alone a quarterback. So it feels like the owners are kind of trying to reset the market a little bit with Lamar. Now, this is important for two reasons as far as the Chargers are concerned. Number one, Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's working on a new extension this year. We all know that. You know, they don't have to do it this summer. They can wait. He has one more year on his rookie deal and then a fifth-year rookie option. But it's always better to get these things done sooner rather than later for two reasons. One, you don't want Herbert to get disgruntled. He's not the type of guy that would, but his camp could. You never know. Number two, you want to preferably be before Joe Burrow because then you're establishing the market that the Bengals now have to go over and above. Whereas if Burrow gets the deal first, now the Chargers have a new number that they have to clear. So this Lamar thing's kind of, I think, slowing down the Justin Herbert extension talks. I think both sides want to see what happens with this deal, what the market looks like, and go from there. Either way, Herbert's going to get a boatload of money. I don't think it's any question that he'll be a Charger his whole career, if not most of his career, if he pulls a Phillip Rivers and leaves for 1 year in 15, 16 years. But, you know, elite franchise quarterbacks come along not often, and the Chargers got back-to-back ones, three in a row if you count Drew Brees, and they know that, and they're not going to let Herbert go through their fingers. The second way Lamar is impacting the Chargers, though, is in the 2023 NFL draft. Now, the Baltimore Ravens, shout out to Tyler Shoon of the Guilty as Charged podcast for kind of pointing this out, inspiring this in my brain. I wrote an article and everything. The Ravens have the 22nd pick in the draft. If they trade Lamar Jackson, suddenly you're looking at a Ravens team that might need a quarterback. And that 22nd pick, who knows who falls? Is it Anthony Richardson? Maybe not. He might go a little bit sooner than that. But there might be someone who falls. And suddenly, quarterback-hungry teams, maybe like the Saints. Yeah, they got Derek Carr, but they might want to develop someone. Maybe even the 49ers. They probably wouldn't do that, but that would be electric. Maybe the Raiders with their second-round pick. Maybe they don't go quarterback in the first round. And they want to get a quarterback with their second-round pick. But suddenly, it's harder because Baltimore's got the 22nd pick. You think they might take a quarterback. And that gives the Chargers more leverage. Being one pick before the Ravens, it's the latest a team behind them could potentially move up to take a quarterback from the Ravens, for lack of a better term. And it just helps the Chargers move down. They have leverage. They know that there is a team that another team is definitely trying to leapfrog. It can give the Chargers more of an opportunity not only to trade down, but to get more in return. So that's huge for the Chargers. And, you know, who knows what happens? The Ravens might trade him to the Minnesota Vikings, who have the 23rd pick. They'll get two first round picks from the Vikings. So even then, Baltimore won't have a pick before the Chargers. And then they're a prime candidate to take a quarterback at 22 or 23, making the Chargers pick even more valuable. That's probably the best case scenario would be Lamar going to Minnesota, get him out of the AFC, back-to-back Ravens pick, so on. But even if the Ravens get a pick earlier in the draft, if it's the Colts or something, they might take a quarterback then, but that's going to push things back. And then with the 22nd pick, they're a prime candidate to get a receiver. They need receiver helps. If they're going to draft a rookie quarterback, they're going to commit to giving them receiver help. And there's a lot of back end first round receivers here that teams are going to like. One guy falls. People think that he might go to the Ravens at 22. Suddenly Chargers get a phone call. Hey, we want to jump ahead of the Ravens. We know they're going to take a receiver. We want this guy, whoever that may be. Now, if it's someone who the Chargers really like, obviously they're not going to make that move. But again, it's more leverage. So suddenly the Ravens at 22 become a much more important team, you know, a team to monitor. Watch out for this Lamar Jackson news. Just see what happens, because it could have big implications of what the Chargers do in the draft. Because at the end of the day, trading down is the best case scenario for the team. Tom Telesco has never done it. I get that, but they don't have a bona fide first round need. They have some salary cap things in the future. They're going to need cheap, cost controlled talent for the next few years to fill out the roster. So just getting that one extra top 75, top 100 guy really could make a difference. So I would just monitor the Lamar Jackson thing. And who knows, maybe if a Lamar Jackson trade happens that gets the ball rolling for an Austin Eckler trade. I don't want it to happen. I don't hope it happens, but you know, things with the NFL, usually one thing leads to another. So we're in the calm right now. Like I said, NFL draft, I believe, is a month away from the day we're recording this. I'm going to do some horrible podcasting and do some research on the spot, but we're about a month away, April 27th, exactly a month away from the day I'm recording this. And it's exciting. It's really exciting. You know, the Chargers had a special year last year, and you know, they brought back some key players, replaced players, you know, Eric Kendricks replacing Drew Tranquil. And now they have to cap it off with a strong NFL draft and then potentially sign some, you know, free agents alongside with that, you know, kind of like they did last year to, complement the draft class. So that's all I got for you. A little bit of a shorter Bolt Beat this week, you know, breaking the fourth wall behind the curtain. Totally forgot to record. It's currently pretty late at night, a lot later than I usually submit. But that's okay. We keep carrying on. You know, this is the Bolt Beat. This is the Charger Chat podcast. All we want to do is bring great Chargers content to all you beautiful listeners out there. So I, as always, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me ramble on about something. Keep an eye out for Lamar Jackson. And until next time, let's get back to the Charger Chat, guys.
Well, that those are some interesting observations there,
big
Jason.
Thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, big thoughts for some waves that could potentially happen here with the draft. I mean,
it's a good way to find Charger news in an offseason, like a period where it feels like there's none.
Right.
You know, yeah, like
just start making
everything
some
else going on is, but it really is like everything yeah. else going on with all these other teams affects the Chargers and what we do in the draft and who becomes available and what trade partners might look like. And it's interesting. It makes me more excited to pay attention to what happens with Lamar.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's kind of like what, you know, that you get one of those drafts every once in a while where crazy things align and you get a whole bunch of stuff. The Phil Rivers draft, you yeah. know, we got a whole bunch for one thing that kind of was a ripple that carried into a tsunami for us and players. So, mm-hmm. you know, just got to be the right place at the right time. It's an interesting thought for sure.
Big time. Jason, thank you for all thanks, of the dude. Homework that you've done. Yeah. And thanks for jumping on. We really appreciate that.
Thanks, brother.
Let's move it on now to the next segment. It is Ask Bolt Fam. Extra chunky.
Wah. Wah.
Time to put your money where your mouth is.
Hi, guys.
Go jam a thumb up his bottle. That's what you do.
I wet myself in excitement.
Both are hungry.
Your thoughts are like totally appreciated.
Catch you later, dude.
Okay, love you, boy.
That's right, folks. Time for Ask Bolt Fam. We
Thank
started
God.
Off.
I love know. This segment so much.
Well, we've got a lot to this episode.
Let's go.
Let's start off with Derek Hueza.
Certified Fresh.
Who asked the question? What's up, guys? First and foremost, I would like to say, truly love this podcast. You guys are doing an amazing job representing our Bolts. Okay, my question is, how can we get rid of the crybaby fans? They blow up Twitter over the smallest shit and acting like Raider fans.
I have a theory.
Ooh.
Let's hear it.
There, if you look at a lot of these accounts that, you know, grab their big wooden, you know, stick and just start stirring the pot, just stirring the cauldron of shit.
Yes.
A lot of them don't have a lot of followers and they very recently opened accounts.
Body McBotbots.
I think there may be some other teams coming in to fuck with us. I think there may be a little bit of that because some of the stuff being said is just crazy. And it's almost like another team's fans perspective pretending to be Charger fans. So this is just, you know, tinfoil hat energy. But I think there's some of that going on.
It's an interesting theory. Yeah, I think we need to have like what was the thing from Blade Runner where they had to like ask them questions to determine if what they were androids test? Or not.
Yeah, we need something.
You got to be like, all right, if you're so smart, what does FTR stand for?
Yeah
We're waiting.
that's a good there's got to be some kind of preliminary entry exam or test.
I feel like anyone that's, how do I say this the right way?
Take your time.
He's trying to be gentle.
I don't want to lose any fans. I just want them to change. You know, like let's help them change instead of.
Honey, I love you, but I need you to change.
Exactly. That's the feeling. Yeah. For sure. Like I feel like we're getting going. Like as a Chargers organization, we're getting some fandom. It's starting to grow. Some of the shit bags are coming, you know, like
this is actually, if you want to look at it positively, this is a good thing. There's more of us you're going to get shit with the good. It's just happens.
Right. Yep.
We just got to work them. You got to make them feel better about themselves. Tell them they look pretty today. Give them one of those. You know what I mean? Get in the comment. Tell them they look pretty.
When you see the shit on Twitter, you go, hey, that's not how we do things.
That's not how we do things here.
That's not the Charger way. That's not how we act. So ship up or ship out.
Right.
But just ship up.
And I hope you have a great day.
And hope
and finish with that. Something like
FTR. Hope you have a great day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Show, you know, show them the ways. You know, it's one thing to be combative, but this is the way. We are supportive. We are encouraging to not only our Charger players, but our Charger coaching staff and our fellow Charger fans.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, so and
come together.
I think that my favorite thing on Twitter is when you get in arguments with people.
Yeah.
You go left field and say something so nice to them during the argument, it totally breaks their brain. And they're like, they don't respond
or they make some kind of silly joke and then it's over.
Mm. You win.
Yeah. You kill them with kindness.
Kill them with kindness.
And then if you can't do that, then you just
block them.
Okay. Mute, block. Those are some of the best buttons in the world, baby.
Yeah. Simultaneously. That was perfect.
Derek, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Mr. Therapist.
I know him.
AKA what? Manny.
Double dipper.
Double dipper. And this one's a big dip. This is you're dunking the whole nugget in the sauce.
Whatever ketchup's left is coming with me. Yeah.
Let's go.
Here we go. He's got a question that goes like this. Hey, fellas. In an effort to get our fans in the right state of mind for the upcoming draft, I wanted to guide us into a visualization exercise. Visualizing what you want is an important way to communicate to the universe your greatest desires. And the law of attraction states that if we call on things through our words, our thoughts, and our feelings, the universe will send those things our way. Sometimes, as fans, we can become negative, pessimistic, and emotionally reactive when things don't go our way, tranquil, or when things are looking uncertain, Austin Eckler. And because of how we act, we could be sending out negative energy into the world, which comes back to us in feelings of disappointment, bitterness, and resentments toward our football team. So in the spirit of positivity, let's change that through this intentional exercise. Please find a quiet room, get into a comfortable position, and close your eyes. Let's start by focusing on your breathing. You don't have to change your breathing, just notice it. Notice where you feel the air coming in and out. Maybe it's at the tip of your nose, or maybe it's at the back of your throat. Just notice the breathing and the rising and falling of your chest as you breathe. Now, with your eyes closed, we're going to create your happy place. This is a Sunday night. Actually, it's Sunday, February 11th, 2024, Super Bowl night, and the Chargers are in victory formation with 10 seconds left in the game. They are 10 seconds away from winning their first Super Bowl. Justin Herbert threw for 3 touchdowns, and Derwin James just finished picking off the ball, giving it to the offense to run out the clock. The Chargers are up by 10 points. The game is all but over. Take note of your surroundings. Where are you? Maybe you're in your living room. Maybe you're at a local Charger bar. Maybe you're at the actual game. You decide where you are during one of the most amazing moments in your life. Now, I want you to notice who is there with you. Maybe it's your family, or maybe it's your friends. What are you guys doing? How are you celebrating the most amazing moment? Take the moment and just imagine it. Now, you look back at the TV and you see Justin taking the snap and kneeling. He hugs the ball with 2 hands. Corey Linsley turns around with the biggest smile and hugs Justin. The clock reads 9 seconds, 8 seconds, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 00s. The team races onto the field as blue and gold confetti falls and fills the stadium. Sebastian Joseph Day and Keenan Allen are holding an empty orange Gatorade water cooler. In front of them is Brandon Staley soaked in Gatorade. You hear Matt Money Smith screaming, and the Chargers are world champions. Now, I want you to notice how you feel right now. Notice your heart. What does it feel like? Imagine your spirit, a spirit that has battled through the toughest of times, through the most uncertain years, only to get to this moment and finally get to witness your team win the Super Bowl. This is an amazing moment. It is the ultimate moment. In all the ups and downs of the offseason, all the disappointment from previous years doesn't matter now, because you are here now, and everything that happened happened the way it was supposed to. Everything is right.
This is your happy place. Stay here for as long as you like. And remember, whenever you need to, you can always return to this place. Hope this was a helpful exercise. I do have a question for each of you. When you did this exercise, where did you imagine yourself watching the game and who were you with? Much appreciated.
That was awesome.
Did you close your eyes?
I did.
You look sleepy.
It calmed the shit up.
Yeah,
it calmed me down so much. That was,
I think it was
wonderful.
Adam's. Part of it was Adam's voice.
And the reading was pretty spot on.
I was so conflicted because I was like, I don't want to do something silly like, okay, now that you close your eyes and imagine this is your happy place, yeah?
You know, that needs a little music bed underneath it. It needs a little bit of like the
calm
wind chimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, we'll throw some in there for sure.
Now you'll know when you hear it. Now you know when we decided that it was going to happen. That was wonderful. Cool.
Yeah. There's no reason why I can't get to this situation. And it's so much. How good do you feel right now? If you actually listen to that and follow that exercise, how do you feel right now?
Awesome.
Gotta be feeling pretty freaking good, right? Like you're in a good place. So when we did this exercise, where did you imagine yourself watching the game and who were you with?
I'll go first.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Please. So it was odd because I was at OG's in San Diego.
Me too.
Were you? Because we watched so many football games there, like when I was younger and all that. That was just like a place that we experienced defeat and we watched wins, and you guys were there, and we basically the whole bar was filled with like family and our kids and stuff. Like that's where my head was at.
Yeah, I was at OG's. My dad was there. Kev was there. You were there, Adam. My wife was there. My kids were asking for quarters to go play arcade games, and it was glorious. I just gave them all thousands of dollars to leave us alone.
Well, what about you, Adam?
You know, it's funny for me, not that I wouldn't want to experience the game with you guys, but when I, as I'm reading this and as I'm picturing it and the idea of looking at a TV, a lot of my previous watching of games has been with my parents. I've been at their house. So I imagine being able to be there with my folks because we've been through, I'm sure my dad, the two heart attacks that he's had has probably been partly contributed to Charger games. So, to be able to experience something like that with my folks and be able to look at them and see their faces and just how happy they were and
bring them to OG's.
Happening, we're all going to OG's. All right,
OG's Carmel Mountain Ranch. Here we come.
Buckle up.
All right, Mr. Therapist. Thank you.
That was a long one,
but that was really fun. That was good exercise. Thank you. Let's move it on now to Cerberus 21, who asked the question.
Aztecs to the Final Four for the first time in program history, baby! I have a question for the Doug and Dads, but hey, Will Dog, feel free to chime in as a different perspective. My son is turning one soon, and something that's been on my mind is whether or not to make him a Chargers fan. Obviously, I'm going to push him hard to be one, but I'd never force him to be a Chargers fan, baby! I've been having this reoccurring nightmare where we lost the 27-0 game, and my son is crying in his room and going, "Why did you do this to me, father?" And then he begins to levitate and speak in a demonic tongue I don't recognize. And then I wake up, baby! Don't know if it's all connected, but I don't want to hurt my son by getting him to love a team that's hurt me so bad in the past and has nothing to show for it. What's your advice for this kind of situation I'm in? Can't love you, bye, baby!
This is a good question. For me, like, I always make jokes like I'm forcing my kids. They're going to be Charger fans. I haven't really had to do that because I'm so passionate about it just in general. In my office, there's all this Charger stuff. Like, my son will draw lightning bolts at school and bring them home to me. Like, he's a Charger, man. It's like, it's just like, if you can have a connection with your daughter.
Yeah.
Or that's all that matters. It doesn't matter if we're winning or losing. You guys have that thing together.
Yeah.
So
that's
do it.
And that's what it is. Like, if you're as a dad, you have a relationship with your kid and spend time together and they see how passionate you are, that's what they're going to pick. Like, that's just that's how we me and Kevin started our fandom.
Crazy fan. That's what happened.
My dad was just a big fan of the Chargers. So we were big fans of the Chargers, even though they royally sucked. Like, I remember they were 0-12. We were season ticket holders, but yeah. We were still like, I have so many vivid memories of going to the game.
Those and that's garlic what it's fries about. Like, awesome.
Yeah. That's what it's about is being, even if they lose every game or they lose this in the playoffs every year, they never make the playoffs. That's not what it's about. Like,
right.
It's just not what it's about. So yeah, you love them. You love your kid. They're going to love the Chargers too.
Right.
But if they do start levitating and speaking in demonic tongue, you might want to go to the doctor or check that out.
Yeah, you might want to ask
the doctor. Won't be able to help. Call a young priest and an old priest.
Buy a heater because it's about to get cold in that room. But,
yeah. What's your opinion? You weigh in on this?
Well, I think it's interesting because we just kind of had this conversation and, growing up, like my parents didn't necessarily have like a football team. Like we would probably watch football from time to time, but we never had a team. And if anything, we had baseball. Like I grew up in Valencia, so we were Dodger fans. And so we go to Dodger games. And so,
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Cause that was like, oh, okay. I'm a Dodger fan now because we went to games and we had that experience. So I would say that if anything, Cerberus 21, take your boy to a Charger game. Let him see and feel the experience of like the roar of the crowd and like the thrill of victory and all that stuff. So I think that could really push you along. So yeah, just get a couple tickets, have a good time, go to a good game. That's my thought.
Do it. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Enjoy the father-son time, man. Yes. It'll be awesome.
It'll be awesome. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Jonathan Herrera.
Certified fresh.
Who asked the question? Oh, yeah. The Macho Man wants to know, did you guys watch wrestling growing up? And if so, who was your favorite wrestler? Also, what would your wrestling name be? Thank you, brothers. All right.
This is good. It's funny. There's this video game arcade right down the street from us. When we've been working in St. Louis, Adam and I.
Oh, yeah.
And they play wrestling on the TVs in that video game place all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm watching this old, crazy, like 70s, 80s, 90s wrestling. I'm like, wow, this shit's crazy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm the biggest wrestling fan, but
for
me, I got to do the fucking, what was it?
The Bushwhack.
Bushwhacker. Yeah, we did that like 100 episodes ago, the Bushwhackers. But I'll go Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan was the man
for me. Yeah, it's a classic pick.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, I did watch wrestling, but not like as an avid fan. If anything, I grew up with a Nintendo and there was a WrestleMania video game cartridge that I would play.
Nice. So
growing up, I would see names like Bam Bam Bigelow and the Honky Tonk Man and all that stuff.
I remember him. He's a big chubby bald guy, baby.
And Jake the Snake Roberts. And I think I even
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Yeah, there Jim Duggan. Go.
That's easy.
So I grew up with kind of those names and having a bigger appreciation for that. But I would have to say the one that I would always pick when I played that game was Andre the Giant. That's the guy. That's the man. That was like, how do you, he's born with greatness.
He's a giant.
Nothing.
He's a giant. What do you do? So Andre the Giant for me.
I didn't watch much wrestling. The main wrestler that I remember was The Undertaker because he was sick. But
so sick.
The other one that reminded that I think I'm scarred a little bit from this guy. And it's so stuck in my head. And I now as an adult, I think back to it, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous character to create for WWE. Do you guys remember Goldust?
Oh yeah.
Dude, we went to a match live and he was like the final match.
That's so ridiculous. What a silly, silly character, Goldust.
Yeah, just a gold leotard.
Goldie. Something like that. He was silly, but yeah, I didn't watch much, but Undertaker and Goldust, those were two that I remember.
Let's go.
Heck yeah. All right. Well, there you go, Jonathan. Thank you for what would your wrestling name be?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, Goldust.
Bolt Boy. They call him Bolt Boy, but he's a man. It's confusing.
Not Bolt Man, huh?
No. There's already a Bolt Man. I can't start a trademark. It's a Bolt Boy.
Bolt Boy.
Bolt Boy, here we go.
Here he comes.
Wool Doggy Dog or something like that.
Yeah, I like it.
The Wool Dogger or something. I don't
know. Wool Dogger.
Jonathan, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Daryl Sandlin, 21, who asked the question.
Hey, guys. Hope all is well in the Bolt fam. Okay, here we go. Check this out. Hoo-ha. Matt Money Smith mentioned an interesting take last week. Ha! Said Tommy T may think actually want to consider trading out of the first round to stack up an extra pick or two. He's never done it. But then again, he's never restructured this many players in an offseason before. Draft well, stack up rookie contracts, and keep building this roster. I, for one, really dig this idea. What say you? Hoo-ha!
Does it every time.
So fun. All right. So trading out of the first round and the talk of like, yes, we've got some great guys in key positions, but boy, depth could be better.
The only problem that I have with this is we don't always hit on our second and third round picks. I feel like Tommy T has a really good history of hitting on his first round guy, but then the rest of the draft just kind of, but maybe, I don't know. I would rather hit on our number one if that guy falls. But if you could guarantee me two starters in the second round, the guys that are like good depth pieces that make an impact on the team, then yeah, I don't feel the, it's not as exciting, I guess, maybe as one of the things as a fan. I just feel like we hit on our first rounders. We don't always hit on our second and third round guys.
Do you want to hear a really terrible answer that's like selfish and lame, but it's how I feel.
How?
So if this happens, it's going to happen around 21, right? We're all going to be watching the draft, waiting, bated breath for our pick. Thursday night, we get one. 21 goes to somebody else. We don't pick anyone Thursday night. That's just small-minded Kevin wants his Christmas present.
Short-sighted.
Yeah. I want my Christmas present.
Early.
And I am not okay with not getting my Christmas present.
It sounds like Eric Cartman.
That's
right
a terrible.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. It's Eric Cartman.
I want my Christmas present.
That's it. Our Eric Cartman methodology on that. But
I think those are both great points. Yeah.
No, mine is not a great point.
It's good. Hey, I think if you could at least trade further back in the first round, maybe not totally go out of the first round, but maybe
31
in the same way that Jason 30? Talked about, you know, like trading the Ravens and giving the Ravens opportunity to get a
switch first, get a
but then picking
third
up
and fourth.
Third.
And getting an extra pick just by not totally moving out of the first round, but maybe just a little bit further back.
Yeah, don't do that.
So it'll be interesting to see, because all good points as far as like, you know, needing to build depth. We need more depth, and Justin's contract is eventually going to come home to roost, and we are going to need players that don't cost us $30 million a year on the roster. So we'll have to wait and see. It'll be fun to watch. But Daryl Sandlin, 21, thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to Hangry Seth, who asked the question.
In the interview, Staley hints late first round, early second round picks would be good. You think there is some trickery up Telesco's sleeve?
He's a ninja.
I think this almost happens every offseason, at least that we've been doing this, where there's like, oh, he said this.
He slipped
maybe
it.
Maybe he meant this. And yeah. It that's just not what Tommy does. Like, if he does say something, chances are it's going to be the opposite. It's a cloud of smoke to throw you off his scent as he ninjas his way into our hearts. But I'd be really surprised if they would be that open about what their draft scheme is going to be. They're so close to the chest on those plans.
We're not going to know until right around that 21st pick, when somebody starts panicking. Everyone's made great points about this quarterback situation. There's a lot of quarterbacks that could go in the first round this year.
Yeah.
And if somebody's desperate and wants to come up and get it and give us a whole bunch, we get like two top 90 picks. Like, it's hard to It's hard to not consider it, but I want a first round guy. That's what I want.
Right. Yeah. The first round guys are the ones that are going to be an impact day one.
Hopefully, but yeah, hopefully, most yeah. likely they will be.
Yeah. So we'll find out, Hangry Seth, but thank you for asking the question. Let's move it on now to H Dog, who asked the question. Hey, boys, I love your pod and Patreon and look forward to every new episode. Keep up the great work and know that you've got a huge fan out in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. Enough of the soft serve and time for my question. Looking for your individual answers to this two-headed snake of a queue. What is your death row meal? Get specific with it if you'd like. Real nitty and gritty, baby. Oh, yeah. Second part of the question is to pick a Chargers player, active roster, retired, or deceased, to enjoy your death row meal with. Best of luck. Bolt the F up. See you next Tuesday. And K, love you. Bye.
All right. All right.
All right. All right. All right. Death row meal.
Let's go.
You're dying. Eat something. aren't you hungry? That's the thing. Like, if I know that I'm dying, I'm like, what am I going to eat?
I don't care. Yeah.
I would have to be.
But wait, you have to consider the fact that you're eating it with the Chargers player, right?
Sure.
So it's like, in my mind, the only thing I can think of is like Benihana, like some chef rolls up, cooks for you, does yeah, all like the tricks with the volcano. Yeah, yeah. Because like you want it's like a meal to get, I don't know.
Yeah, you want some entertainment with your last meal.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I think Benihana with
nothing like a little volcano is not going to cheer you up.
Or a heart that he like
tossing shrimp tails into his hat.
Yeah, breaks the egg, spins it, makes a funny gesture.
He throws it up.
Next thing you know,
catches it in his mouth.
Yeah, squirts some sake into his mouth.
Next thing you know, you're walking in there with a big smile on your face and no one knows what the fuck is going on.
Hit me up.
I'm ready to go.
That's my final answer.
I love that's a great answer.
Hibachi with who? I don't know. I don't know. Somebody goofy. Help me, guys. What's this? I don't know. Phillip Rivers. He's just my hero. So
of course. Phil. You can't go bad. Yeah. You can't go wrong with Phil.
Yeah. Me and Phil enjoying some hibachi before I get put down.
There you go. Love it.
I'm going to go with the Brazilian steakhouse where they bring the meat around and you don't stop. Like
it never stopped. Yeah,
I'm gonna make this thing last. Yeah, and just get like one little piece of steak and slowly enjoy it, and you know, put the flag back up,
put the red card up.
Yeah, I'm ready to rock again. Green. Bring it back in. Next thing you know, they've reconsidered the position on killing me because I've been eating for 4 days, and some new breaking news. The documentary made about me made some huge waves. Everyone's protesting, and I'm safe.
Or you die from eating too much meat.
Yeah, well, I'm just sitting there with meat
sweats.
Protein
overdose.
Death by meat.
Yeah. Well, he killed himself. We didn't have to do anything.
Oh, son of a bitch. We had no idea.
Didn't think of a workaround. Yeah. Wow.
And who would this feast be with?
It would be fun to eat for 4 days with. Let's go Justin Herbert. That's got to
sure.
be. Sure. If I'm going to go out, I got to hang out with Herbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say Justin Herbert, but I would ask for a brisket prepared by Justin Herbert.
Eating a brisket prepared
by Justin with his own mixture of secret spices and ingredients and flavors and just get to sit there and put it between two pieces of bread and eat it with him and say,
but what happens?
Damn it, it was amazing.
But what happens?
You never won a Super Bowl.
I cried and I'm like, thank you.
And then Justin leans in and whispers, we're going to win next year. And you're like, no, God,
wait,
no.
Wait, postpone it. Wait.
Terrible life choices.
That would be all right. Well, there you go, H-Dog. Thank you.
Good question.
Asking a great question. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you know you're in the off season where you're like, hey, you're going to die. What would you like to eat? That's your question. Let's move it on now to It Is What It Is-Em.
Certified fresh.
Who asked the question?
While Thunderstruck by AC/DC is a classic, I would like to submit one, My Name is Thunder by the bloody Beetroots and Jet. The bombastic intro, along with the symbolism of lightning and thunder, play into the Chargers theme so well, it's near perfect to blast this bad boy for home games and promos. Not sure if the first few seconds would be playable on the pod, but I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
We're playing it.
Oh, play it. We are playing it.
We're going to deal with the repercussions of what this means tomorrow when we upload this. And we apologize. We're not trying to steal anyone's content, but this song is too fucking good to not share it with everyone right now.
Yeah. No, this is advertising because we're not going to make any money off of this episode. No. Now, so
which goodbye, $4.50.
Which is fine.
$5.
Which is fine because
this... Go hit up our Patreon for $5. Covers what we lost on this episode.
Do us a solid. No, this song is so... It is amazing how I've never heard of this song before.
No, I've never heard of it.
It gave me the feeling I get when I listen to Thunderstruck.
But how, though? Because I've heard it so many times at the game.
You're going to hear this now.
Okay.
Put this in your ears.
And smoke it.
And smoke it.
Come on.
That's pretty
I don't want to get rid of AC/DC. I think these can both have their own places. You know,
yeah, for sure.
Get us started with AC/DC for the game. Bring us out of halftime so we're fucking going fired up with that.
There's a lot you could do for
that
sure.
That song is so perfect.
Yeah.
I can't believe that I can't believe I've never heard this. Number two, I can't believe the Chargers have never used this song in any way.
I've never heard of this band before.
No.
I generally go on YouTube and search keywords that are Charger related, like thunder and like lightning and like Justin Herbert. And this never came up.
Justin Herbert.
That is such a kick-ass song. Picturing the guys running out on the field, like as they were getting announced, come on.
Oh, dude, I got I'm ready. I'm fired up. This isn't a paid advertisement. We're actually
was really, really good. Oh. Yeah.
That I don't know how you could get better than that. So
I'm putting it on my game day playlist for sure.
Oh, it's already, I've already added
I have
it,
three versions on my iTunes right now. So it is what it is. God bless you.
Thank
because
you.
Without you. We would have never heard of this.
Thank you.
And now all of you have heard this amazing song.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. All right. Yeah. Bottom line, what our thoughts are, freaking love it.
Let's go.
Freaking love it.
If we had a say in what they played at the games,
top of the list.
My say would be yay.
Yay. Yeah. My say would be yay.
Yay.
It is what it is, and thank you for bringing this to our attention. Let's move it on now to SSJ Sage Luffy.
Certified Fresh.
Who asked the question? I need more Madden franchise charges rebuilds to watch. Could you do one? All right, so...
What does that mean?
So, it's interesting. So, now that we live in the world of Madden... you could basically go, okay, I'm not going to play this game. I'm going to have a computer versus a computer. So here's the Chargers team with all of the new players, other players gone, playing against the Raiders or the Broncos, something like that. So it's all generated by Madden. You can watch the game, and it's just the computer playing against the computer with all their stats and abilities and stuff like that. So seeing as how none of us have Madden, SSJ
Sedge left. It makes it hard.
We're embarrassing. I haven't, my last console was an Xbox, like the original one. I haven't bought anything since. Back when we used to have LAN parties and play Halo 1.
Previous to the 360,
My son did get an Oculus recently, and I'm pretty good at miniature golf.
He's got that going.
So if you want to see that, Kev's got it.
If you want to see that, we can.
We should get Stelly on the sticks. Teach him how to do this Madden stuff. And get.
He could be our correspondent.
Yeah, he could be our Charger Check, like correspondent guy, our Twitch Charger Check guy.
Our Twitch guy. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Give the director a run for his money on that.
Let Stelly know. We're calling him in.
And we love you, director. I was just kidding.
Of course. No, I think, there's a lot of really fun ones. You could just search for Madden Chargers 2023, and there's somebody that's got one out there. So there's probably whatever's out there right now.
He wants to see, they want to see us do it. But
I know, but they're going to do it better than us fumbling around going, okay, now what do I hit? Like,
could we do it without the game? Is there like a mod or something?
What?
I don't know.
Can I just play the game
without
the game?
We don't know. I don't know. Who am I?
Who am I?
So SSJ Sage Luffy, we'll see what we can do, but no promises. Let's move it on now to Zool420, who asked the question.
If I was a sickly peasant boy designated by the aristocracy to carry messages back and forth for pennies, and you found me outside the city walls with a deep wound in my chest from a musket ball and a letter clutched in my hand, and I told you my last dying wish was to have someone read the letter to me so I know that I died for something important, and you open it up, and when you find a single large illustration diagram of an onion, would you tell me what it was? What would you say to me?
All right. So a guy whose final lot in life was to carry this message, this important document, and he's dying. He's like, please, before I die, open this and tell me what it says.
Chargers win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
I mean,
you would not tell him that, oh, it's just an onion, dude. It's a really good onion, but
I can't let you die just for an onion. Can't let it happen.
Onion.
That's a tough way to go. Give him some good news, you know?
Chargers win the Super Bowl.
He doesn't know. Yeah.
It's Justin Herbert's signed picture.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
I could really use this. Bye. Yeah.
Cool. So, can I have this
so
when you
cool.
die?
Yeah.
Do you want some hibachi?
I know a place. Yeah.
Last meal, right?
Yeah. Let's get this guy in there with us. Last meal. Let's watch some volcanoes.
That's too funny. All right. Well,
you would just break the news. Onion it is. Sorry, dude.
No, I don't know what.
I would just read. I would just read the
until they started dying.
The exercise we did at the beginning by the therapist.
There you go.
Oh, I would be like,
all right, close.
He just gets so relaxed that he passes.
And then he's just
focus
like,
on your breathing. Oh, cool.
And now he's in. He's
that's a more way more peaceful way to die. Yeah.
Sure. We're all about peace here.
Yeah, we bring in the therapist.
We're bringing the peace.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go, Zool420. Thank you for the question. Let's move on now to House of Hain, who asked the question.
So I say, my thoughts about Drew moving to the dark side. I think KC just wanted the defensive playbook from Drew. He won't even be the starter in Kansas City. I say, what say you? Kid love you by FKC, FD, and FLV.
I don't know. I don't like it.
They got a good linebacker at a really, really, really cheap price. Like, even if he is your backup, you're not paying him much. He's on a 1-year deal and he fit into the salary cap. So, yeah, why not? I think that he was, I don't know, Drew for 1 year, what he got is getting paid. That's a pretty good deal for a backup guy in a position that gets hurt a lot.
Mm-hmm. I think the Chiefs just did it to piss us off, like Kyle said earlier.
I don't know.
I think there's an element of that.
No, they posted that stuff to piss us off, but they didn't.
They signed him so they could post that to piss us off. You can't have one without the other.
It's the long game, Kyle.
Yeah.
They go, look, you see what we did? He wants to walk out. We're not even going to give him that. We're cutting him.
We're not even going to let him play.
He's not making the roster. After training camp, later.
Later.
Yeah. Cry about it.
That's funny. Yeah. It's an interesting thought there, House of Pain, but thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Mark Bisnelli Jr., who asked the question.
Ooh, hello there. I didn't see you there. It's me again. I have two very important questions for my bolt process from another mother. Duh, first one is, why don't we have cheerleaders anymore? Is ownership just too cheap to hire them, or what? Why do people hate pineapple on their zas so much? Seriously, what is wrong with you knuckleheads? It's so omnomnomalicious, and my heart begins to race just thinking about it. Ooh, love the podcast and the brisket broads, more like a brisket babes, am I right? Anyway, thanks for the laughs, fellas, and always FTR killers you by.
Cheerleaders, this good f-ing question, man.
Boy, it is really just a, not only do people want them back, but there really is just like a question as to why they went away in the first place.
I think COVID just gave you the opportunity to get rid of them. I don't know.
I guess, yeah, it was right before the 2020 season that they
did. They have him at the old stadium. I think as soon as we left San Diego, we didn't have him anymore.
Really?
I think that's what it, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know.
Nobody knows.
The one thing about the cheerleaders, they're awesome. But I just remember the guys with binoculars that would only pull them out between plays when they were cheerleading.
Halftime.
Yeah. It's like you brought your binoculars just for the cheerleaders.
Give it here.
Yeah.
This is dad time.
I don't know. This is dead.
I paid a lot of money for this.
I didn't get these first level seats for nothing, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Dad, you're in the front row. Why do you need binoculars? So, yeah, we don't know what happened. The cheerleaders, they went into the Bermuda Triangle and they never came out. Don't know.
Yeah. I miss Charger Girls, though.
They were fun. It was fun to have them.
Yeah.
And pineapple on the za.
I love pineapple on pizza.
I like pineapple on pizza. I don't order it a lot, but if it's there, I'll eat it for sure.
I dig it so much.
I like it. Yeah.
I don't seek it out and I don't have it with a fervor that I would light a house on fire if they had it.
There's a lot of
people that feel like they would. They would sooner murder a puppy than eat pineapple on a pizza. So I think we're fine with it here, Mark. But thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Coach Lago.
Lago.
Who asked the question?
What's up, you beautiful goofy buttholes? I'm doing pretty good myself. Bummed to miss y'all on the Saturday special tens hang. Darn kids and their friends' birthdays. But hey, I drank some beer and watched some of that there basketball madness. How about them Aztecian Warriors? Their coach don't look Dutch. And hell, even if he was, it seems a little bit racist to call him that. So yeah, I was drinking some beer the other day and started thinking about breakfast. I don't know why. It's harder to eat missing teeth, but I love me some cold cereals. Frosted Flakes, oh, they're great. Fruity Pebbles, Cookie Crisp, yum. What's y'all's favorite cereal? And another thing, what was the first feller doing when he milked a cow? I mean, I know molesting a cow back then wasn't illegal or anything, but golly heck, that feller must have had some beers. FTR, Oender, K, love you, bye.
Oh, Lago.
We're in the off season.
I love you, dude. That's hilarious shit.
I don't think we've talked about it yet. How about them Aztecs, baby?
Holy shit. Final Four, dude. We were like,
And what an end to that game.
And we play
that last game was crazy.
We play FAU to get to the national championship.
Yeah. I think I saw there was like 37 brackets that have been correct so far out of like 20 million.
I can't even imagine that there's that many. That's like, it's so insane that, I don't know. It's so fun. I love watching the Aztecs play basketball. Me and Kev, like we said, we went to Vegas and watched their tournament, yeah. Mountain West tournament. So good. And but they were not playing that great. Like their defense is always incredible, but their offense was very lackluster.
Yeah, Bradley's not doing well the last couple games. They've had to
doesn't help matter
out a little bit.
It doesn't matter.
Matter
does not somebody's matter one bit. Up,
still a dub, baby.
W's, still a dub. We're never even made to the Elite Eight. Now we're in the Final Four. Pretty sick. Can't pretty wait for cool. Saturday. Going to OG's and Carmel Mountain, by the
dude,
way.
Dude, my theory. I told Adam this theory. If this happens, something magical happens for the Aztecs that have
they
never
break this San Diego curse.
The curse is gone. Then the Padres are up next.
They're gonna win the World Series.
And then it immediately goes to the Chargers. It's gonna be it's just meant to be, dude. This curse needs to be broken, and I think the Aztecs are the one to do it.
I like that thought.
That would be pretty amazing.
Yeah, you do.
All right. Let's talk cereal.
Hell yeah.
It's the off season, baby. Let's talk hell some cereal. Yeah.
Adam, you go first. You are the cereal.
You know
man,
my yeah. answer.
Go ahead, say it.
I know. I have recently been very brought into the world of s'mores cereal, which is
so good.
I don't know how it came about. I can only imagine somebody was like, well, we've got these Cocoa Puffs. We got these Golden Grahams and we got these marshmallows from Lucky Charms. What are we going to do with them? And somebody was like, isn't that kind of like the ingredients for s'mores? And they were like, you fucking genius.
You're mad.
How can I have some more of nothing?
So
kill him.
Yeah. Lately the s'mores cereal that is out of this world. The best.
Nice.
And it doesn't matter what version you get. Cause I think, there's like an official like Honey Made, like the Graham Cracker Company, Honey Made makes their own s'mores cereal.
The Walmart brand?
The Walmart still brand delicious. Or the big giant like 7-pound bag that like is nameless, you know, that just says s'mores cereal with a happy fox on it. Perfect.
It's a happy
all
fox.
All good.
Yeah.
We should just start a cereal podcast. You speak with it with so much enthusiasm. It's like the way you talked about that, he talks about Justin Herbert.
I really want to go buy some s'more cereal right now.
They're going to be flying off the shelves. It's really freaking good.
So good. All right. Do you guys have anything more passionate?
Go ahead, Kev. I'm boring. I like Honey Nut Cheerios. And you slice up some bananas and throw that shit in there. That's my go-to. Because it's kind of healthy. There's a big heart on the box. So I'm like, you know what? This tastes like sugar and is delicious.
Yes.
But it's going to help my heart.
But they're telling me it's good.
Yeah. And you cut up some banana and throw it in there. It's delicious.
That's a dad cereal right there.
Yeah, it is.
Not saying that's a bad thing.
Hey,
I'm just
saying
it's a dad cereal. Exactly.
Yeah, I am what I eat.
Yeah, dad cereal.
Oh,
you're
dad.
So gross.
I was just confused by what you said.
I eat dads like you for breakfast.
You eat dads for breakfast? No.
No.
All right.
Kyle totally did a fucking e-break on that one.
Yeah, my brain stopped. I couldn't even think about what my favorite cereal was for a second.
Blew your right. mind.
So my favorite cereal is not a normal fan favorite, I don't think.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe it is. I've told people what it is. They're like, really?
Fiber Blast?
Grape Nuts?
Grape Nuts, no. It's along those lines, kind of. It's Life cereal, but yeah. Cinnamon Life.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh,
are you kidding
cinnamon
me?
Cinnamon Life is so good. It's my favorite. And then it has like, almost your milk is like a churro milk at
yes.
the end, too. Cinnamon Life, that's my go-to.
You're talking my language.
I got some, I'm going to get some Cheerios you. After this. We're done here.
Yeah,
pick up some good. Cinnamon Life, too. That's good stuff right there. All right, Coach Lago, you goofy butthole. Thank you for asking the question. Let's move on now to Hawaiian Surfer.
All right.
Who asked the question? Damn, been thinking about this team a little too much under the influence of the green herb. And next year really could be a drastically different team. Keenan, Mike, Eckler all could be off the Chargers next year. It's crazy how fast time is slipping by. Make sure to cherish this season, bro, Chargers. A new Chargers era is on the horizon.
question, Vully D, you've got some gnarly voice impressions, but can we hear one from Kyle and Kev? Show us what you think is your best impression, boys. And no, you cannot take the easy way out and imitate those dumb Raider fans. See you later, Mahalo Killers. You bye.
I stay in my lane.
No, now hang on.
You got to try.
I have heard some killer from Kyle. I have heard some Nacho Libres.
Oh, yeah. Kyle's got Nacho in the bank.
Of course. I've heard some fat bastards coming out of Kyle. So don't act like you don't got something in your back pocket.
That's the problem. I have lines. I can throw a line. I'm not reading a script and an impression.
Give us your favorite line.
Yeah.
I can sing you a song.
Okay. Do it. Even better.
When the fantasy has ended and all the children are gone, something good inside me helps me to carry on. I ate some bugs. I ate some grass. I used my hand to wipe my tears, to kiss your lips. I break my vows. No, 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 no way, Jose. Unless you want to, then we break our vows together. Incarnacion. I'm gonna wake up my kids. That's all I got. That's Nacho Libre's finest for you.
I am so proud of you. That was so good.
Awesome.
Oh boy.
Whoa, where do I go for that?
Yeah, top that, Kevin.
Well, good luck.
It's a very short it's a movie. You know the movie.
Want some French fried taters? Mm-hmm. Want some French fried taters?
Mm-hmm. Sling Blade.
That's good.
You know the movie, but I'll still tell you what it is. In case you didn't know, it's Billy Bob Thornton and Sling Blade.
French fried taters. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Kyle wins that.
We'll take that. No, you both win. We're all winners here. We're all winners. Charger chat. Hawaiian
Thanks
Surfer.
Thanks for saving that till the end, so very few people here.
Of course. thank you, Hawaiian Surfer, for asking the question. And we go out of Ask Bolt Fam with Danny Lags.
Danny!
Who asked the question.
Hey, yo, young bucks. Did you guys see Kyle Van Noy made a hole in one? Oh, all right, all right. So Viking won last match. He moves on. Next match, here we go. In a small area with tall grass, really tall grass, and one big rock. Bring out the elite Spartan voices, a saber-toothed tiger. Who wins?
On three. I think this is going to be unanimous.
This is the best way to do it is on three thing.
Ready? Hang on. I got to think about this. I haven't had a chance. Elite Spartan.
That's like 300 Spartans.
Yeah, so 300. So one of the 300.
Sparta!
But the main guy.
The elite. The best of the best of the Spartans.
Yeah.
Versus an extinct.
Should we Google how big a saber-toothed tiger was?
No. Immediate impression, then we'll argue about it afterwards.
I kind of want to Google it. All right, they were up to 3 feet
all right,
in length and up to 750, 5.5 feet in length, 3 feet tall, 750 pounds. That's a saber-toothed tiger.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Count it down.
All right, 3, 2, 1,
saber-toothed tiger.
Kevin.
Kevin's on his own.
A 700-pound tiger with giant fangs?
You are such a dipshit, dude. You're so fucking
He gets
stupid.
A rock.
Last week you said a Viking could kill a fucking bear.
Dude, he gets a fucking rock and there's high grass. What? This is the perfect situation for a fucking saber-toothed tiger.
Stupid. All right. Man. Okay, wait. Hang on. I'm going to look up the size of a grizzly bear for you.
And look up the size of an average man with a six-pack, too. Tell me
dude,
what that
shut
is.
Shut up. You said a Viking could kill a grizzly bear. A grizzly bear is up to 600 pounds.
Vikings are Vikings. Have you seen the mountain? That's Viking level
shit.
Okay,
hang on.
Idiot, Kevin.
I'm with you, Kyle. I think a Spartan would take down a saber-toothed tiger. And the reason being,
it has a spear. I saw it.
No, it doesn't. It has a fucking rock.
Have you watched 300?
Have you read the question? 300. A rock.
No, that Spartan could go around the tall grass. Just
Spartan could be on top of the rock.
With with nothing, bare hands?
No, we doesn't never say bare hands. The Viking wasn't barehanded.
It usually gives us the weapon. So I'm assuming.
The Viking,
the Viking did not have
a weapon. The Valhalla Viking did not have a weapon. You gave him the axe.
Give him the axe, the axe, the axe.
I'm still giving the saber-toothed tiger. That's a 750-pound cat.
You're so inconsistent.
And Adam,
for
a guy that loves cats, I'm kind of disappointed in you.
He's consistent. You guys,
you just killed a cat.
I can't give my reasoning because I keep getting interrupted. So
go ahead. Okay, go.
So if you remember, Kevin, at the very beginning of 300, the way that Spartans became the elite Spartans were they had to survive as children, and they showed at the very beginning a kid killing a wolf. Now, that was a kid Spartan.
Child.
An elite adult Spartan is going to take down a saber-toothed tiger, regardless of how much tall grass, regardless of the rock.
Yep.
He's going to do it.
He's 750
because he's an elite
pounds.
Spartan. Doesn't matter.
This is an average saber-toothed tiger.
A kid can take down a wolf.
Tiger.
Do you know how heavy is a wolf, Kyle?
Let me look.
Let me look.
I'd
say I'll get right on that.
Quarter of 750 pounds.
Average weight is what I need to look at.
Because apparently it's all about the weight here.
Yep.
That's all we care about.
Is he
about
a featherweight, a welterweight, a heavyweight?
I was convinced we were all going to say saber-toothed tiger. I don't know why.
I think we are.
Average male adult wolf is 200 pounds.
Okay.
So
a kid, a kid taking down a 200-pound wolf.
Well, a kid.
How heavy is a kid?
How tall is a kid? Four
feet.
How tall is an adult? He's only getting a third. The cat's two-thirds bigger.
That doesn't matter. Last week, you said a Viking could kill a fucking grizzly
cocaine bear.
Yeah, I did.
On cocaine.
And I stand
by
that
answer.
And
now you're telling me a Spartan can't kill a little cat.
I'm saying it could. I think in this scenario, with all the factors, with the grass, with the rock, it is saber-tooth time.
Shut up.
Could a saber-tooth tiger kill a grizzly bear in a one-on-one fight? Don't
be stupid. Depends on if you believe in dinosaurs. Like, I don't know how you feel about this. The prehistoric time. Like, I'm not sure the question.
No.
Can you rephrase it and put it into a sentence?
Grizzly bear versus saber-tooth tiger, who wins?
Saber-tooth tiger.
You're so stupid.
It's bigger than a grizzly bear.
You're so stubborn, dude. It's not bigger. A grizzly bear is up to over 800 pounds. You're just so
That's
stubborn.
That's an even
in your
fight,
answer.
750. Maybe I just have more admiration for saber-tooth tigers. I don't know.
Apparently, I guess. Go look it up. Do more research, dude, because this is the thing.
What do you mean, do more research?
Your research.
You just Googled it 10 seconds ago. No, I feel good about my
You're
answer.
Just so
but,
inconsistent.
But guess what?
In
you guys made the decision.
I know.
Saber-tooth's
hey, Kyle,
not moving on.
High five, buddy.
Dude, thank you for agreeing.
But guess what? Now we got Viking versus versus a Spartan. That's going to be a sweet
That's
fight.
That's a great fight.
I want to watch that.
I want the pay-per-view. Give it to me now.
Get these animals out of here. Let's
All the animals are going down because you have samurai. Is that all we have so far is those three? Samurai,
Viking.
Samurai, Viking, elite Spartan.
Spartan. Yeah.
Okay.
We want all
pretty brutal fight right there.
We're humans.
Those three in some kind of a weird environment like we've been getting. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Danny Lags, thank you for continuing to divide this podcast. We greatly appreciate it. We'll come together on something someday.
One day it'll happen.
It hasn't happened yet. So thank you, Danny Lags, for asking the question. And thank you, everybody, for asking questions and Ask Bolt Fam. Whoo, we greatly appreciate it. This was a good one. I had a lot of fun here, and I think that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat, but any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
We'll break our vows together. that was really good, Kyle.
You're welcome.
So many good moments. Well, that's going to do it for us here at Charger Chat, folks. Don't forget to bolt up, because we're ready for any squad, any place.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
Okay, love you, bye.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Are you on the social media team for the Kansas City Chiefs? When you need new clothes, where do you go? Sure, you could make multiple trips to multiple stores, but wouldn't it be great if there was just one store to get all of your doofus clothing needs? Well, now there is! At Doofus Vuitton. Doofus Vuitton carries all of your clothing needs, so you can let people know, I get my clothes at Doofus Vuitton. Three-quarter zip Patagonia vest? You betcha! And khakis in 20 different shades of beige! doofus baton, closing the dorks one doofus at a time.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.